Good morning, everyone. I guess you could do better, but I am not going to try again. Before I get to my subject this morning, I want to make one correction of my announcement earlier. I said that sister who is visiting from California is Jeffrey's mom, and I was corrected by Molly when I went back. So that is his aunt. Okay. If you ask me this morning, are you going to, this is Sunday prior to Christmas, are you going to preach about Christmas? The answer is yes and no. We will definitely talk about him as I go through. But what the Lord has given me is a subject about the eternal glory of God. And that will bring us to the babe that we just sang. Just a few weeks ago, I started as an initial introduction to this subject. But before I get there, let me present to you the message of Christmas first. Finney, if you are ready, if you can put that up just one slide today. That is my message for Christmas today. You can read it yourself. This is something that people normally send you forwards. I don't read most of them, but I thought this one makes sense. Really, it does. And I thought that is really true, what that person is trying to tell us. That is all about Christmas. Okay, we are done on that one. Let's go on to our subject this morning, is the glory of God, what is revealed to us in the scriptures. We are going to look at some passages. We will be referring different passages at different areas. It is primarily talking about God's glory and revelation of God's glory. And the culmination of that revelation is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ approximately 2000 plus years ago. Eternal glory of God is always revealed to human being in God himself, who dwells in eternity. We just announced for prayer of a couple of families who lost their dear ones. And if you ask them, they will say they went to eternal glory. What? Where did they go? What does it look like? Who is there? How much can we understand about eternal glory? And the eternal glory is essential because God himself in person lives there and dwells there. And if you take, for argument's sake, if you take God out of eternity, there is no glory there. So this morning we will look at the glory that is revealed to mankind, beginning from creation down through the centuries. God used various means to reveal himself. Some of the passages I have in my lesson this morning is already been read or referred to one way or the other. When you look at the creation itself, sometimes we read through the creation of a story and we get concentration above the creation itself, and we sometimes tend to forget the person who is behind this creation and the revelation of God and his majesty and his glory from Genesis 1. Sometimes take your time and read that passage and see if you can see the majesty and the glory of God behind the story. Yes, we should look at the story and understand it, but go beyond one step and look at the revelation of God's glory and majesty in itself. Just imagine for a moment the creation, the seen and the unseen universe that he created. The earth in its all fullness, the sun, the moon, stars, all that creation, if you look at it, take a closer look at it. It is a full revelation of the glory and the majesty and power of God himself. Sometimes that should take us into the very presence of God in true worship. Some of the passages we will quickly go through this morning will reveal us how God has been revealing himself to human beings, one to one, person to person. King David one day sat in his porch, I believe, and looked up to the heavens and said this in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Have you ever had an opportunity, I'm sure you did, to step outside and look up to the heavens and see God's glory and majesty beyond the scenes of the all what you can visualize, can see? And that is what David did. He looked above and said, the heavens declare his creation, yes, but he says his heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. We as believers should go a step behind and find the God who gloriously created what you and I see in our life. Day and day, uttered speech, and night and night reveals knowledge. That simply means it is not limited to David at that time. It is happening every day. It happened yesterday. It is happening today. It happened last night. It will happen tonight. Day unto day and night unto night, glory and the majesty of God is being revealed to human beings who look up to him and try to ponder on him, and the knowledge is revealed unto them. During the last 7 days of your life, wherever you went, whatever you did, at any time of the 7 day period of time, did you have a chance to look up to the Lord of glory and majesty and see him as the creator and the magnifying and the magnificence of his majesty and glory? And David, you can see as we go through, we look at it in a few minutes, he did that majority of his life in close fellowship with him, in appreciation and in worship unto him. We also see that God chose to reveal his glory and majesty each individual's face to face. We know several stories, several incidents that happened in the scriptures. Face to face, one to one, we referred to one of them this morning in our worship. Face to face, one to one, God has revealed his glory in many times, and the scripture has recorded that for our understanding. One time, if you remember, while Joshua was leading his people, he commanded the sun to stop, and it stopped for a few hours. But what we really see there is the majesty and the God's glory, and you get a glimpse of time versus eternity if you look closer there. Time stopped, almost a touch of eternal vision there. That is how God revealed that. Wherever revelation of God's glory is, there has to be a response by human beings. It's one thing to have a revelation and understanding of God's glory, and there must be a response to the revelation of God's glory. What is our response? What is your response and my response when God reveals himself to us? How did you respond? We will look at some scriptural references for our understanding. First of all, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, a very famous, well-known passage that most of us know. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of God's glory and majesty and God himself to mankind has been going on for many centuries. And the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 1 and verse 1 like this. Let me get to that. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken
To who?
Spoken to us. God has spoken in the past through the prophets in various ways, and today he has spoken to us. That means you, that means me. Each individually, God has spoken to every one of us by his Son. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure most of us do, and God has spoken to you in person, face to face, the day that he came to the Lord. And he revealed his Son through his to us, his Son. The culmination of the revelation of God's glory is in his Son. He revealed in many other ways, through thunder, through fire, through many other means that man can understand. God did reveal his glory. But the culmination of every all of this is when he revealed himself in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we had the joy to worship just a moment ago. That perhaps a challenge to anyone who is here this morning, who do not know the Savior. Has the Lord has ever touched your heart, has revealed himself to you through his Son, and you have not come to accept him as your Savior? Maybe a child or an older person, whoever you are, maybe you are listening to me on the Zoom. If you have not responded to that, perhaps you will reconsider that again, that he has revealed himself to you and for us through his Son. This morning I hope that you and I gathered around the person of our Savior, and through these emblems, when we pondered and concentrated our minds and thoughts upon him, we had a glimpse of the glory and majesty of God that should have brought you to, in your mind at least, on your knees to worship him. And I hope that worship ascended beyond the ceiling today as we sat before him and opened our hearts and minds to worship him. Verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had given himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Can you see beyond the word there? That he, the Son of God, is the full revelation of God himself. And he sat down on the majesty on high. God's revelation is designed that we may know him. God's revelation, God himself, our God, is a God who wants to reveal himself to mankind, to you and me, with one sole purpose, that we may know him. If you do not know us, ask him as a Savior, that you may come to know him as your Savior. If you already know him, that you may know more, as Paul prayed in Ephesians and other passages, that I may know him, that God revealed his glory for that purpose. If he ever reveals himself to set one way or the other, even to a very limited amount, that you can see him, that will lead us to worship. And after that, we go out in obedience to serve him. We'll look at some of these passages as we go on. There is a quote in the Westminster Catechism declares like this: God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Perhaps more, there is more can be added to this. As an answer to the question, what do I do? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Solomon said in this same, almost the same thing, in his wisdom writing, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, we read, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. God wants us to have a very close fellowship and understanding and walk with Him and to worship Him, but also to fear Him at the same time and keep His commandments. We hear people very, very often talk about that I want to glorify God. I want to live. If you ask a believer, what is your goal in life? They will say, I want to live glorifying God. Sometimes it is quite nothing but a vain talk with no actions or any changes in life. It is one thing to say that I want to live. It's a good desire to have. Yes, we all should live to glorify God. But what have you done to it for that desire? Glorifying God requires obedience first and then action to follow and worship. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul reads like this, say 6:20, we read, for you have been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. We talked about the price this morning already. What price was paid to buy you back? Therefore, glorify God. This is not a request. This is not Paul saying that if possible, please try. This is a direct commandment to you and for me, saying that you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Our job as a believer, whatever we do, even in our worship, our aim and goal should be to worship Him and glorify Him. Paul says again in 2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. You are involved within it. I am involved in it when I want to bring glory and honor to Him while we live here on this earth. We are therefore to glorify Him. But the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and me, every one of us. That is what Paul is commanding us to do through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God. And then in 1 Peter 4:11, we read like this. If anyone, listen carefully, 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God provides, supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Whether you speak or you serve, these are the two major spiritual gifts exercised within the body of Christ. Some have been given the ability or the commandment to speak or preach or teach in one form or the other, not necessarily always here at the pulpit, even on a person to person sometime. You can talk to priest to people. But when you do that, Peter says, do it as the oracles of God. This is one thing that preachers need to take note of. When you do it as it is the oracles of God. Sometimes people will say, I think so. Maybe it is like this. Maybe it is like that. No, if the oracles of God is sure and definite, and it must be preached the way it is, as the scripture says, then those who are ministers serving in 100 different ways, as we even saw last night here. When you are served, let him do it. How? Not with your own ability, but the ability that God gives, that in all things, in that case, that in all these what we do, your service to the Lord, whether you preach or teach, or you or an elder or a deacon or a missionary, whoever you are, it is all to be done with the ability God supplies, and thereby all the glory goes to Him. As human beings, we have a tendency, if somebody has a good ability to communicate and make a good preaching, we will try to almost worship him, in the sense, I should say. But all glory must go to him, whether we speak or we serve. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says like this. Whether therefore, it goes, Paul takes us to one more step further. Outside of the speaking and the service, he says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, that includes your entire life, brothers and sisters. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I want you to look back for the last 7 days. Can you say that whatever I did for the last 7 days, I did it for the glory of God? That is what the scripture wants you to do. Whatever you did, that is an inclusive statement of everything that we do in our life. I have to confess myself. There are things that I may have done or thought that did not bring glory to Him. But that is the expectation of God's expectation about you and about me. Before we can glorify God, we must have the concept and understanding of His glory a little bit. That takes us to some of the attributes of God that is revealed to us. In every one of these attributes, God has revealed to us in certain ways. And at the very end, as a culmination of that, through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we must distinguish between false pride and justifiable pride. God Himself, within His person of God, in which He finds delight in Himself, in every aspect of His character, His attributes, and in that He takes a justifiable pride. And God's attributes, if we have studied it sometime in the past, but sometimes as human beings, we fall into the so-called false humbleness. I know a brother, sometimes he will get up to speak and he will say, oh, I'm not worthy to speak, I'm not ready to speak, I'm nobody to speak. And sometimes I thought in my heart, what are you doing up there? If what we do is on total dependence on Him, and then we will not be saying things like that and having a false humbleness. The problem with many believers in the churches today is they are too humble to do anything. If you go and ask something, I'm going to put Michael in spot here. If I go and ask Michael, can you do this? Michael will say, I'm not saying he will do it, but I'm using an example here. Oh, I'm not able to do it. False humbleness sometimes, not necessarily always, he may be telling the truth. But there is a problem in the church today is false humbleness, brothers and sisters. When things that you should be doing and serving Him faithfully, that falls into that and say, I'm not here, who am I? God is Himself, whenever He displays in full excellence of it. God glories in what He is, than more than what did He do in creation. His creation itself is a tremendous subject to look at, and God's glory is a revelation. But beyond that, God glories in what He is, who He is as a person. Just take a closer look at the revelation itself and many revelations that He has given to us throughout the scriptures. When He reveals, almost all of His attributes are revealed to us. His wisdom, power, love, mercy, grace, justice, holiness, and truth. All these attributes and character of God is revealed in every revelation of God's, even the one that we referred to earlier this morning. But where is the fullness of all these revealed? It's the person of our Savior at the cross of Calvary. I see, when I look at the cross, what happened there? I see the wisdom of God. I see the power of God revealed. I see the love of God demonstrated to us. I see the mercy of God toward you and me. I see the grace. I see justice done. Sometimes we think there was no justice for Him, but justice was done in His eyes. I see the holiness. I see the truth. All this fulfilled fully in His Son there on the cross. Oh, what a revelation that it is. But as we come to the scripture, look at the scriptures, we see the response to the revelation of God at various times. How do we respond? The response to the revelation of God's glory are throughout the scriptures in many, many occasions we can look at, but I will only refer to maybe a few of them. As we know, a rebel walked along the road one day going to the city of Emmaus. We may sometimes think about Saul as a very educated, well-known, well-educated religious person. But he was really truly a rebel. And he walked to Emmaus. A light shone brighter than the noonday sun. Have you ever noticed the brightness of the sun at 12 o'clock on a bright day with no cloud? How bright it is, how warm it is, how hot it is, the heat. But the light that shone when Paul was there at the doorstep of Damascus was brighter than that. Can you just imagine that? That was God revealing His glory and majesty to a person who is a rebel. Some of us can identify ourselves in that, in some form or fashion. But the question is, when that revelation came, what did he do? That is more important than at this point. First of all, we read, he fell on his face and said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? There was a response to that revelation to him. Two things, if you closely look at it. He fell on his face, meaning that he worshipped God when that revelation came to him. And it didn't stop there. We are all good in worshipping. Yes, we should and we must. When the revelation comes, we must worship Him. But the story doesn't end there. Paul said, next question is, Lord, what shall I do? Worship should lead you to service, to do something for Him. And we read in the Old Testament, a very discouraged prophet Isaiah, at least at that point of time, we read that passage this morning. He was so discouraged and he went to the temple. But before I read the passage, let me tell you this. If you have ever has a discouragement in your life, there is one place and one place alone you can go. He went to the temple. Well, it may be in the vision as our brother mentioned, but he went to the temple, a good place to go. Discouragement, anything that comes along in your life, one place and one place alone, you should and you must go, is where God Himself is. And there God decided to reveal Himself to Isaiah. There the glory of God appeared. 6:3 we read, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. He was able to see the full revelation of God's glory. And he says verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, who is me? For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. What was Isaiah saying there? Yes, he is saying that I am unworthy. But I believe he was saying that looking at the worthiness of and the holiness and the majesty of God. That is why he said that I am unworthy. We all sometimes say I am unworthy. Not because we saw the glory of God and majesty. That is what Isaiah said here. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It is very easy to say all of us have seen. Have you seen, your eyes have seen the Lord of glory, the King of kings. Not only just at the time of salvation, thereafter in your life, have you seen the Lord of glory in your life? And if you did, what was your response? Here we read that he confessed about the majesty and the glory of God. And the story doesn't end there. Next, he said, after talking about his own unworthiness and recognizing the worthiness and the majesty of God, he said, "Woe is me, send me, send me." Many are not going today. When I say going, I'm not talking about going into the mission field. Yes, that will be perfect. Or in any way of service to the Lord, many are not going because they have not seen the glory of God. Anyone who sees the glory of God will worship and will go and will say, "Please send me. I am ready to serve." And I hope you and I will have an opportunity to tell him, "The Lord, please send me. Please use me. I am ready." That's what Isaiah said. When you come to Exodus chapter 15, he records the praise offered to God by the children of Israel. You know the story. I won't take time to read that. God delivered them through the Red Sea. God just revealed himself to the people of Israel as a whole nation, as a God who redeems and delivers and protects. And some years ago I saw the film about the Red Sea and the story and the Moses, how they led them. I don't know how they made it, but anyway, the people of Israel stood on the other side of the divided sea and they looked back and saw the dry land and they saw the enemy falling under the water. What are they thinking? They are not caught up with what has happened there. Their thought immediately went to the God who did that. And Moses sang a song there. You should take time to read it, chapter 15. The Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" What are the people of Israel saying? They are not too much concerned about the water and all that. Their thought fully went to the glory of God. And they sang this wonderful worship song that ever recorded. Moses has had a vision on Mount Sinai, a very terrifying scene. When Moses came back, his face was shining, as we read. But he was powerful and strong and faithful enough to stand for Lord alone in his name. And he won the victory almost to the borderline of the land. There are many other passages we don't have time to go. Psalmists have identified God's glory in many places. Psalm 24 verse 7, King of Glory, Psalm 66 verse 1 to 5, "All the earth shall worship you. I will praise the Lord," Psalm 111, "with all my heart." And the reason is given, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." God's greatness and glory is unsearchable. You will never find the end of it. You may scratch the tip of the iceberg, perhaps, through what is already revealed to us in the scripture. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought back in 1 Chronicles 16:23, we read 23, you know the story there. "Sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." And verse 28 in chapter 16 says, "Give to the Lord, O families of the people, give to the Lord glory and strength." The people's mind was totally caught up with the glory and the majesty of God. And they were encouraged and challenged O families of the people, give to the Lord glory and strength. What is your response? Here we see almost a progression of the revelation of God and the response by various people. How do I glorify God? You are glorifying Him when one responds to that glory as befits the revelation itself. And enjoying God when man lives in fellowship with God who has revealed Himself. Here is how we glorify God. When there is a revelation of Him, and when there is a response to that revelation, one glorifies God. Then we enjoy Him forever in fellowship thereafter. And I hope this in this Christmas season, I have two questions to myself and all of you. Have you come to know this glorious God who revealed Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born 2000 plus years ago? Have you had an opportunity to say yes to Him? Have a glorious glimpse of Him, not just as a baby that was born, a person who came down into this world, became a man and died there on the cross, revealing the fullness of the glory of God there on the cross on your behalf and mine. But if you are a child of God, have you understood the fullness of glory of God? And if you did, even to some extent, how did you respond? My question is, how will you respond this morning? I hope and pray that I will and you will really have a vision of the glory of God in exalting and knowing Him. And also, not just as a baby that was born 2000 years ago, as the world is talking today, but the fullness of the glory of God, and truly worship and desire to serve Him in response to that revelation, just as Paul did and many others of whom we looked at this morning. God is revealing His glory and majesty through His Son today, throughout the world. What is your response and mine? We will probably continue on this subject, Lord willing, next time when I get an opportunity to speak. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You, Lord, this morning. What a privilege for us to know such an awesome God. We often think, we talk, we sing about Him, but very seldom I should say myself, take it very seriously at all. O God, our Father, we pray for each one of us who are here in this room and others who are listening from far. Thou may speak to them, reveal Thyself to them through the Word, through the person of our Savior, through Your glory that is already revealed to us. This is far beyond we can grasp and understand. Yet that You chose every person and You reveals to human beings like us even today. Talk to our hearts in a special way. We bless Your name, magnify You, worship You, give You thanks. Thank You for hearing Your prayers. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.